Good morning. Welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. I'm Linda Lair, and I'm the president of the Board of Trustees. We're often reminded that although we consider ourselves a liberal religious community, there are conservatives among us. Well, I am here to remind you that although we are in New England, there are Eagles fans among you. Coffee hour follows the service in Fellowship Hall. Exit through the door to my left. Follow the hallway and the signs. Guests who are joining us this morning, welcome. We're very glad you're here. In addition to our website and Facebook page, you'll find information at the Church Life table in Fellowship Hall. We invite you to sign our guest book as well. Child care is available during the service. In Lower Fellowship Hall, and the ushers can help you find that.
Good morning. I would invite you now to turn and extend that same good morning to neighbors seated nearby you. If you've not met before, please introduce yourselves and say hello. Call to worship is by the Reverend Leslie Takahashi. All that we have ever loved and all that we have ever been stands with us on the brink of all that we aspire to create. A deeper peace, a larger love, a more embracing hope, a deeper joy in this life that we share together. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Michelle is not here today. She's fine, but she's not here, and so I'm filling in for this bit of the service. And I want to just follow up with a conversation that Michelle and I had actually this week about words we hear around church sometimes. And this month in particular, there are some words that may not be spoken as often as they are at other times during the year. And I will tell you up front that the word I have in mind is not Super Bowl. Go Pats, not Super Bowl. And it's not cold, hoping for warm, but we've had enough talk of cold, so we'll let that be for now. The word that Michelle and I discussed together was the word stewardship. And we talked together a little bit about what that means. And Sometimes it actually helps to look things up online, which I did to make sure that I was on the right path. And what I learned is that the definition of stewardship is caring for something you value. And someone who does that in whatever way, with whatever thing or person they value, can be called a steward. Now, I know that word most in relationship to caring for the earth, caring for the planet, being good stewards of our natural resources. I'm familiar with that. I was in high school when Earth Day was first celebrated, and so I feel like that word has accompanied me on a long journey in care for the earth. But this month in particular, because this is Generosity Sunday, and because during this month, all of us will be given an opportunity to make a pledge of financial support. For us, stewardship has that meaning as well, that we are each in our own way stewards of this congregation. This is a place we value, and in our valuing of it, we also care for it. So I would offer that word to you. Take it along as the day goes and as the month goes. Think about those things that you value here and the many ways that we care for all of who we are and what we are here together. Yes, financial to be sure, and with so, so very much more. So happy Super Bowl Sunday. Stay warm and be a good steward of all those things that you value. And Jolene is going to help organize Going with the Light. Is there someone who would like to serve as the lantern bearer for us this morning? Would you? Whoop. Nope. Okay. Thank you very much. And the light of the chalice accompanies them. During the month of February, we are sharing our plate, sharing the financial gifts in our offering with diverse and revolutionary Unitarian Universalist Multicultural Ministries, an organization usually referred to as DRUM. This organization was founded in 1997, and it provides support to Unitarian Universalists of color in their congregations and in other settings by offering both support and other kinds of resources for deepening of the spirit. Our contribution is incredibly important to their ongoing efforts in that regard. Thank you for making them the focus of our giving during this month. The morning offering will be received.
Thank you.
Please join me in the spirit of prayer. This is a prayer for living in a both and world, where there is beauty, where there is love, where there is grace and giving, and where there is struggle and loss. Where there are limits that hold down and hold back. In a both-and world, walking the line is hard. It requires balance. It requires support. Sometimes the willingness to fall and get up and go again. In a both and world, our embrace is wide, our love deep, and our spirit unstoppable. With those things, we hold back the power of either or. False choice, the sense of gain and loss that breeds fear. In this both and world, may we continue on that sometimes narrow path where there is love enough, justice enough, and hope enough to go all around. So may it be. Amen. This morning's readings are actually more like tidbits than readings. They are very brief excerpts. I think of them as food for thought from the poet Hafiz, from James Baldwin, and from Marge Percy. First, Hafiz. Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, "You owe me." Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. And from James Baldwin in The Fire Next Time, "It is rare indeed that people give. One can give nothing whatever without giving of oneself, that is to say, risking oneself. If one cannot risk oneself, then one is simply incapable of giving." And finally, Marge Percy, from her poem, "The Low Road." "It starts when you care to act. It starts when you say we and know who you mean. And each day you mean one more." Our hymn is number 126, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Please rise. Go ahead, Sunny. Once upon a time, there was a Unitarian Universalist minister who told a member of the congregation they served that they were writing the sermon for their annual Stewardship Sunday. Perhaps there was a pause, maybe a deep breath or two. And then the congregant who had received this information looked at the minister and said, "What's the big deal? This one's easy. All you have to say is this. You have money. We need money. Give us your money, and then we'll all go home." I didn't know we had an amen corner in the choir. Well, the impetus for today's sermon is the same as it was for that colleague. And as he did, I'm declining the suggested message, so I'm sorry, but we're not going home just yet. Money does matter in congregations, and I will say something about that in a bit, but not just yet. Just a moment ago, I shared with you a few words from James Baldwin, including this: if one cannot risk oneself, then one is simply incapable of giving. The first time I read that, it was hard to hear. And then I realized that all of us who come through these doors are risk takers. We risk coming here because we are in search, in need, because we are in hope. We come uncertain, We come looking for something that might just be the thing to make our lives better. We take the risk to show up here, and the risk that we will indeed be welcomed in. We come for the first time and again. We come to give this community a try, to give it a chance. And because we did that, and because we still do, and because this place makes a difference, and we make a difference for one another, because the risk worked and was worth it, we return here, we stay here, and we discover all kinds of reasons to give and to give back. This is what we make possible. We make room for whole selves, for deep joy and deep concern. We make room for questions about meaning and faith. We make room for hopes and dreams, disappointment and pain. We make room so folks can just bring it all. And this is what we find here. Support, kindness, encouragement, challenge, and other gifts of the generous and caring spirit. Oh my gosh, we are not perfect, though. We don't always get it right. We may come to a moment of regret, to a place where we wish that things were just different than they are. We may disagree with a decision, struggle with a choice or change. But here, because there's room with time and patience and a dose of mutual respect, we manage to reconnect. And this, too, is what we make possible here, that children learn and grow. Those who grieve are cared for. Those facing challenges find support. Minds are opened, hearts are lifted, prejudices broken, justice grows a little stronger, self-understanding deepens, self-image changes, beautiful music from piano and organ and the Amen Corner, beautiful music from all of us lifts our spirits, and fun here together does too. Needs within and beyond these walls, all these things are addressed. This is what we make possible here. Experience teaches us many things, and it has surely taught us this, that we need one another. As the Reverend Forrest Church put it a number of years ago, he wrote, "We choose to gather here because we know how easily we slip back into mechanical habits that blunt our consciousness. We know we need to be reminded, week in and week out, how precious life is, not only for our own sake, but for the sake of our loved ones and our neighbors." Now, how we talk about that needing one another, one of the gifts of this faith is that we are given many languages to speak. We can refer to the principles of Unitarian Universalism and say that we are all part of the interdependent web of existence. We often quote the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and say, "We are bound together in a single garment of destiny." Some will remember teachings of those amazing teachers, those like Thich Nhat Hanh, who speaks often of interbeing and who says, I see you in me and me in you. You can call it how you will, but this community and this nation and our world need this good news, that it is all about all of us. And it starts, says Marge Percy, it starts when you care to act. It starts when you say we and know who you mean. And each day, you mean one more. I said I would say a little bit about money. So, this is it. Here I am, and I will. Money is one of the things that makes it possible for First Parish Church to be the community we want and need, and to sustain it over time. Now, talking about money in church can be a little touchy. It pushes boundaries of privacy. It calls us to examine our personal relationship to dollars and cents. It challenges values of equity and of fairness. And to that last challenge, a colleague of mine offered this commentary. As a covenantal community, we agree that everyone should be treated equitably, no one given preferential treatment. It is right and good to be conscious of the power of money to come between us, to undermine our commitment to equity and to compassion. And in seeking to affirm the value and worth of every individual, we need not refuse to recognize the gifts given to us in whatever form they take. The decision about financial support for this congregation is a personal one, a family one. Some may feel too much is being asked. Some may be concerned that we're not taking account of individual or family circumstances in an adequate way. Some among us will increase their pledge, some maintain theirs, others will need to decrease their pledge for this coming year, and some may in fact find that to be the case after their pledge has been made. Some of us may find pledging financial support for the coming year simply not possible. All of this is here present at First Parish. In our order of service today, you have the text of the letter sent to members and friends about making a financial commitment to this congregation. It is included here, as is the brochure, for your information to help you make that decision. It is also intended to be encouragement, to show in a way the many things that we are and do together. And it is also a word of thanks. If you feel ready, if you can make a pledge today and would like to do so, you can leave your completed card here in the basket that will be near me when the service is ended. There's also a basket in the fellowship hall at the church life table where you can drop that completed card. And please know that whatever decision you make, thank you for considering it and for giving as you are able. At the January meeting,
of our worship committee. We took time for conversation about this service and about stewardship in this congregation generally. The morning following that meeting, I received an email from Ann Gillespie. At 9 o'clock, she was busy in RE. At 11 o'clock, Ann is here. And with her permission, I am sharing what she wrote to me that morning. I woke up thinking about the idea that stewardship is also a pledge of faith and hope in the future. That's probably especially a factor with new ministry. A pledge of faith and hope in the future, so faith that we will each still find a purpose and a place here and make the world better from here and maybe even do great things we have never even imagined. And that we'll leave something worthy for future generations too. So, Anne concluded, we're grateful for what FPC has meant to us, and we're pledging our faith in its future and our future too. I have been in ministry almost 40 years. It's hard to say. Amazing. And no matter what form that ministry has taken, or where I have been, which congregation I have worked with, I have never yet come to a place. Okay, so these are tears of amazement, y'all. I'm fine. I have never yet come to a place where I lost the sense of amazement at what we do. We choose to be here. Do you know how many other things there are to do on Sunday morning in this world? As a minister for 40 years, that was a mystery to me. I just didn't know that people shopped and did laundry on Sunday morning. We choose to be here. And because we do, we are able to do together way more than any of us could do alone. So count me amazed. And if you feel so inclined, I hope you'll find a moment today, this week, this month, to share something of that amazement about who we are, what we do, the choice we make, and the future we hold. Just be amazed. Amen.
Amen.
I love it. I am surrounded by amen corners. This is a good thing. Friends, we have a closing hymn, and it is For All That Is Our Life, 128 in the Gray Hymnal. Rise in body or spirit and sing in an amazing voice. proud of this church. Advocate for it. Be concerned for its future. Share its message. Cherish its values. Give it a measure of your devotion. This church cannot survive without your faith, your confidence, your enthusiasm. Its destiny, the larger hope, rests in your hands. Carry it with gladness.
Please be with us.